Colleen Genest, please.
I just want to go back to the beginning of this meeting, Mr. Mayor. At the beginning of this meeting, you made an announcement that said this was a done deal before you came in, and that all you did was sign the contract. The reality is you are complicit with the extortion of the people of Bayside area, because by signing that contract, you made it a done deal. You made it a done deal. As far as the Bayside project being environmentally friendly, the reality of the situation is the EPA says something absolutely the opposite. The EPA in 2021 just updated all their information in August, and it clearly says a decentralized system, when you don't have a gravity system, is the best system for the environment. You have already mentioned that we do not have a gravity system due to the tribal artifacts, that you have gone to a low pressure system to accommodate the tribes, as you should accommodate the tribes. But you should also be looking at the health and welfare of the people in this area. When people who are in office have decided that the members of the community have to sell their homes, and that we're going to look at it as a future project for the new residents, you are no longer serving the people that voted you in. As far as the American Rescue Act money, only a certain percentage of the $39 million that Warwick has received is being allocated toward the sewers and the sewer projects. As you have been known to say many times, you came into an administration where the WSA has been mismanaged for over 50 years and the pipes are exploding all over the place. We need to fix those first. So the way to fix them is to take a certain percentage of that money and fix the infrastructure that exists. Don't expand the project. We're in 2021. You are saying that you want to put a lot of money in technology from the 1940s. Things should be green. Decentralized systems are green. That is where the future of the city should be. But what you're doing is you are trying to keep a semi-private, quasi-entity in business, because the WSA is not a public utility for all of us. It doesn't exist for us. It actually also serves other communities. Warwick is not the only community served by this board. But yet, you are supposed to be here serving us. And it is in our interest to stop this project, to not put those shovels in the ground, and to come up with a better environmental plan. That environmental plan would be take those 36 cesspools and fill them. It would take $1 million of that American Recovery Act to fill those. Don't even charge them. Go in, fill their cesspools, and get a filtration system that is approved by the EPA and DEM. It's very short-sighted. This plan is short-sighted for the people who are in this room today. It is short-sighted for the children that we have. It is short-sighted for the new residents that may possibly come in. We should be looking forward, not backward. The WSA is the past. The future should be green. That's it.
Aaron Cabral.
Hi, my name's Aaron Cabral, and I live on 53 Mill Cove Road, been there for 50 years. My father, God rest his soul, was waiting for sewers forever. I move back, take over the house, have to replace my cesspool, paid $17,000. Now I have to pay another $17,000? Is that fair? You paid $3,500 for your assessment. John paid $5,200. We border the water. So why don't you just help, like Pauline said, fill in the cesspools, the 36 cesspools. Help those people. Makes no sense. Betty Ann, explain this deferment to me. Because I did 2 years ago put in a septic system along with three of my neighbors, One of my neighbors paid $30,000, so now she's really getting screwed. I mean, she's 63 years old, on disability. Explain the deferment.
So you put it in 2 years ago?
Yeah.
Okay, so you would have 18 years. So 18 years from present.
If I sell my house in 10 years, does the other 8 years go with the house?
The 8 years go with the house, but the property owner has to connect within 1 year of sale. That's law.
So
they get 1 year. At that point, if they don't connect within 1 year, they will continue to pay the assessment. They'll pay the assessment after the 8 years runs out. So if they buy it in 8 years, they have 1 year to connect. If they don't connect at that 1 year point, then they're going to be assessed, and they will
have to. So essentially, it doesn't really go with the house. It just sounds like it.
If they have to connect, if there are sewers that run past the property when the house is sold, within 1 year, they have to connect. That supersedes the deferment.
Okay. So how many people in the city of Warwick who have sewers available to them are signed up?
Who have sewers available?
Yep.
The percentage is...
Does every single person who have sewers available... Okay.
Not everyone that is provided a sewer has connected to sewer. That's correct. So if the house...
Okay, so if I sell my house in Warwick and buy another house in Warwick, I have to sign up within a year, but yet people who have been there for 30 years don't ever? Doesn't make sense. Does that make sense?
That's the law. That's the it's part of the Rhode Island cesspool phase out.
And Frank, I saw you every Thursday night, talked with you extensively, stuck up for you with these ladies. So much we talked that Kim went home and found out how much you paid. $3,500. I have to pay three times that much? Four times? Five times? I mean, does that make... I mean, and one time, which is kind of funny, I was out for lunch with my husband at Crow's Nest. Woman sitting next to me went to a fundraiser for you, Ed, and talked. She lives in off of Palmer Ave. Told me how you were going to present to Solomon about helping people with septic systems. Even if the lot was too small, you were going to somehow figure out something, which I was like, kudos, Ed.
That's not true. I've never said that. I've never said that in my life.
You didn't, Ed. No. I didn't say you.
Oh, I thought you were
talking. I said Ed. Sorry.
I'm sorry.
But
so, Aaron, what was said was, if we cannot get these sewers done, then I would do what I could to get some type of a program in place for septic systems. In Bayside 1, 2, and 3, there are numerous properties. They don't have a room. They don't have room for a septic system. For any... Okay, that's false information. Fine. That comes from a sewer installer who toured Highland Beach area with me, which is up. Why does the lot grow? The lot didn't grow. It's the same size. So if you put in a septic system today, and Aaron, you've had your share of experiences with your septic system since it was installed.
I've had no problems with my septic system.
Okay. I know of a gentleman,
Mark
who
West,
has
had one issue with his septic system, spoke with Mark extensively. Mark move away to Cumberland? Because he didn't want to pay for this absurd amount of money.
Mark West put in a system in 2005, I think it was. And that septic system in 2005 cost him $8,000. Because there was a significant federal offset to help pay for some of the costs. In 2013, 2 months prior to my getting past the revenue bond to continue the sewer program, Mark spent $30,000 to replace that system. So in 8 years, he spent close to $40,000 putting in a septic system.
That's one person out of 935. One person. Who else?
Do you want me to finish?
Go ahead.
It was said that there are no sewers in Upper Warwick Neck. That's not the case. There are, because I have a sewer. And up in the Upper Warwick Neck and in Bayside 1, 2, and 3, there's a situation with soil over there that I haven't heard anyone mention, and EPA is very well aware of it, so is DEM, so is Save the Bay. It's called blue marl soil, and that creates problems and havoc, or can, with septic systems. There's one particular individual who lives along the golf course up at Warwick Country Club, tried to get a septic system installer over there to put in a system, and I know for certain one company refused to do it because he told that property owner it's never going to last because of the soil. The property owner did get someone to install a septic system. I don't remember. I'm not even sure if I knew what the number was. And in 18 months, it failed, and they had to do a new system all over again. So you can put in a septic system. No one is preventing you from doing that. The septic system, as we talked about or we heard told tonight, and I'll go by your numbers. You all know better that you can do a septic system for $20,000. I question that because I have done some research on the cost of the septic systems myself. I'm sure it's possible. So let's use that as an example. You spend $20,000 to put in a septic system. By the way, there's, according to DEM, there's over 700 people in Bayside 1, 2, and 3 that are on cesspools. And as you all know, oh, it's false.
They just said there's only 36.
Okay. Then you can discuss it with DEM because that's the numbers.
Hold on. Betty yep. Ann.
There are
36 that are under mandate.
I can't hear you.
Because they're within 200 feet of the coastline or a waterway. But they have installed septic systems. They've installed septic systems.
We can't hear you.
They've installed septic systems, and that's why the number is reduced down to 36.
I'm not talking about just the septic systems within 200 feet of the water, Aaron. I'm talking about
throughout
the community.
If your cesspool's working fine.
Can I finish my example? So we're going to use your numbers of $20,000 to put in a septic system. If you need to spend $20,000 to put in a septic system, there's a couple of things that are going to have to take place. One is you're going to have $20,000 on hand to pay for it up front. And if that's not the case, then you have to finance it. And I don't think you're going to be able to finance it or get a financial institution to carry the paper for 30 years. And I doubt very much you're going to be able to get it for 3.2%, I think.
All right,
I heard
DEM has
tonight.
A 2% loan.
2% loan.
Yeah.
For how long? If you want to speak, if you could come to the mic, please, so it can be picked up on audio.
DEM does have a 5-year, 2% loan
okay.
for anybody who moves from a cesspool to a septic. That's a piece of information that has been available
okay.
since 2005.
Okay, that's great. So you have to pay that loan off in 5 years. Yeah. It's a lot more expensive per year to do so.
But then again, it's our choice.
Okay.
But you have...
Okay, thank you.
Okay, so $5,000.
Yeah, how much does it take? Something that was just said, the tie-in, the loan for connection for upgrading a septic system through the DEM, that's through the Rhode Island, through RIMFAC, and is not available in Warwick for septic.
Of course not. One other question. The e-grinder has a 5-year warranty. you're putting an e-grinder in my house, even though I don't have to pay my assessment for 18 years. Does that warranty start once it's in my yard? Or does it wait for the 18 years?
When you connect and you install your E1, at that point it would be inspected, and that's when your warranty would start.
So it's just going to stay on my lot until I supposedly...
No. We're not dropping it off. When you decide to connect, you will have the E1 pump available for you to do that connection. It's not going to be stored at your house.
Okay.
I'm done.
Eric Chaka.
Hi, my name is Eric Chaka. I've lived in Riverview. Hi, my name is Eric Chaka. I've lived in Riverview about 20 years, possibly a little more. I wanted to speak on just two specifics of the project. One is the grinder pumps. This is the first I've heard that there are other areas in Rhode Island that have them, because I did a web search and took a look at how other municipalities handled low-pressure systems. These pumps are an integral part of the sewer system. They're what makes the sewer system work. They're what provides the pressure for the main lines. They are as integral to the sewer system as pumping stations are. And to put the burden of upkeep, maintenance, and installation of that particular segment of the sewer system, which is integral to its workings, on the individual property owner, would be much like making a neighborhood responsible for the workings of the sewer pump that served that sewer, that neighborhood. In other words, I feel that as an essential part of its, of the infrastructure, this should be the responsibility of the sewer authority. For it to not be so is discriminatory to people, taxpayers in the city of Warwick, residents of the city of Warwick, who have an additional burden placed upon them just by virtue of where they live. This is wrong. Anybody else in the city of Warwick, no matter when their sewers were put in, the sewers are put in, they can pretty much rely on the responsible, regular functioning of their sewer system, notwithstanding the periodic breakdowns. We do not have that in this program as it is currently proposed. So, as I said, I did a quick web search, and what I was able to find were a number of communities, some of which had some of the particulars. And what I found was that in these communities, every one that I was able to research, those pumps are owned by the municipality or by the governing authority, be it county or regional system. And they are responsible for their maintenance. They're responsible for the replacement when it comes due. They are responsible for it because it is part of the system. The provisos that I did see were, if I saw fit to flush rope down my toilet and it screwed up that system, I would be charged for the repairs. I certainly don't have a problem with that. I think responsible use is something that is an individual responsibility. However, the nature of this infrastructure dictates that there are units that need to be taken care of and replaced, just as the main pumping stations do. This should not be my responsibility or my neighbor's responsibility. The second thing that I was really bothered about by that is that if there should be a problem, my recourse is to call a private company. Now, private companies do not have the degree of responsibility or the degree of accountability that a public agency does. So I have to be left to the tender mercies of a manufacturer's representative while I can't use my toilet or wash my dishes or take a shower. That's just plain wrong. If you're putting in this system, please be responsible for it. To do otherwise does create a two-tiered taxpayer base, property owner base in Warwick. Ones who get services from end to end, and others who have to worry about and take care of a big piece of that end-to-end that also serves to make the entire system function. This is wrong. The second thing I was going to do is perhaps more minor, because this number one is truly a worry for me. And that is quite simply, there was a great deal of discussion, Ed, I had a great deal of discussion with you. And my understanding was that you had managed in some way to say that, seeing as Riverview, I've been in Riverview at least 20 years, my streets have never been repaved. The only thing we've seen is a patch where they had to do the digging. 20 years, this maintenance has been kicked down the road because sewers were coming. Now that sewers have come, this regular maintenance all of a sudden becomes part of my bill. Excuse me? The only part of Riverview that was done was because there was a clear and present danger where liability was huge for the city. My streets basically are, you know, there were rides at Rocky Point that are a whole lot smoother. And it's been that way for 20 years. We shouldn't be charged for something because maintenance has been deferred until they can finally shift it to a small group of taxpayers rather than way roads are usually handled, which is as the city as a whole. Did the residents of Appanagh pay for their repaving? When there's highway work done, do those individual neighborhoods take care of it? That's wrong. We've been deferred for at least 20 years, probably considerably more, because those roads were lousy when I got in. And those are just the two points I wanted to make. The most important, which is, you have a proposed system, you have confidence in it? Frankly, I don't. If this proposal goes through, I don't have any choice other than to get out. I'm retired. I'm a retired person. I love where I live. My home makes me happy. It really and truly does. But to have a sewer system that I can't rely on my government agency to take care of, that I have to rely on whoever, private industry, which may or may not be there in 5 years, which may or may not want to respond in 5 years, this is wrong. Just plain wrong. And to do what amounts to an additional sewer use fee on top of the sewer use fees that I'll be paying, this is wrong. Thank you.
Stephen Edlund, please.
I'm not going to use the microphone. I'm going to use my teacher voice, even though I'm not a teacher.
Sir, you have to use the microphone or it won't go over live stream.
Okay.
Do both.
My name is Stephen Edlund. I own 99 Mill Cove. And to be honest, I was an absentee landlord up until last weekend. I just moved in there. Thank you very much. There are so many things about this plan that are just poorly considered. Everybody most knows that many industries are moving towards distributed processing. When you place all of your eggs in one basket, in other words, a central septic sewer system, when there's a failure, and you know there is going to be one because all systems break, it's going to have much greater impact on the environment. Distributed processing with septic systems has been proven time and time again to be the most environmentally safe thing and friendliest thing. To those 36 or 45, whatever the proper number is, homeowners who are within bodies of water, have drainage issues, so forth and so on. While my heart goes out to them, I don't think the city of Warwick should initiate another federal flood insurance program where everybody is paying for the needs of the few rich people that are living along the shore. Unfortunately, we're part of those rich people because we're living within a couple of hundred yards of the shore, most of us. But do we need to create another system like that? I don't believe so. I just watched a new septic system be put, brand new septic system be put in on the intersection of Riverview and Tidewater. The town is saying, you're going to get a sewer system in 18 months to 2 years, but we'll give you the permit anyway and go ahead and put it in. This makes no sense whatsoever. You either have to go down one road or the other. And at this juncture, having a single system that is prone to failure, it's almost designed to have failures and to put so much of the cost on the individuals that don't actually need the system. The people in the floodplains need the system. The people within spitting distance of a body of water, they need a system. We don't. And this is a democracy. So if 40, 50, 60% don't want it, 20 do, and the rest is apathetic, why are we going ahead and doing it? This is supposed to be a democracy. And by the way, thank you for your service, because I know public service is a thankless job.
Barbara Richmond.
I'm Barbara Richmond. Barbara Richmond. This is probably going to turn into a rhetorical question, but I wonder what happened to the bond referendums that were passed in the past that were supposed to pay for a sewer system and not the individuals. Does anybody know? Excuse me? Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, we do still have bond money that is earmarked for the Bayside project. Bond money in the past was used for other sewer construction projects that it was the bonds were taken for.
Okay. Yeah.
No, sir.
Yeah, our money went to pay for their system, but nobody's helping us. Is that
the bond
right?
Money that's been taken out for Bayside is earmarked for Bayside.
Uh-huh. Okay. My main question is you said that water that we use for watering the lawn, washing your car, does not go into the sewer system. Where does it go?
It goes into the ground, and that's what Executive Director Rogers was referring to when she was talking about a deduct meter. It's a method for where you can measure the water that is used externally and does not return to the system. That way you don't get billed.
You don't pay for it, but I want to know where the water goes. I'm not asking you.
Can everyone else let her speak, please? I'm sorry, I didn't catch the question.
I understand that you don't pay for that water. What I want to know is where does it go? If it doesn't go in the sewer system, and we were talking about, you know, environmentally sound systems and blah, blah, blah.
Right. Well, we're talking about external water use, like watering the lawn. So that's just going to go into the lawn, or a swimming pool that goes into the pool and gets
and
evaporated
where does it,
out.
And when the lawn is sufficiently wet, where does it go then?
The water absorbs into the ground, ma'am.
You're not understanding me.
There's always an overrun.
Right now, the overrun from the streets is going into the bay, which can't possibly be environmentally sound. So where's it going to go if we're not paying for it? There's still water being used. Where's it going to go?
We're talking about water that you purchase outside for watering your plants, watering your grass. The difference is we're talking about water, ultimately, the rest of the water that you use in your home to wash dishes, flush toilets, take showers, that water legitimately goes to the sewer. You would pay for that. You would pay sewer usage.
I understand that. I'm not an idiot. I'm asking you, where does the water go that doesn't go in the sewer?
If it's on an impervious surface, it goes into a storm drain. If it goes into the ground, it goes into your pool. It remains in your pool. It evaporates.
But when there's...
Am I wasting my time?
No. I'm not following you.
Do you have a plan for water runoff?
In Europe, we do not have combined sewer, stormwater drains. So any of the runoff would go into a storm drain.
It's going into the bay right now.
If it goes into a storm drain, it makes its way into a waterway. But that water outside should
be clean. It makes its way into a waterway?
It would go into
like the bay?
Possibly the bay, possibly a brook, possibly a stream. It depends on.
And how is that environmentally sound?
That is how water, rainwater, everything makes its way into a storm drain, so it doesn't end up on in the roads, pool in the wall, in the roads. On an impervious surface, these storm drains are what handle excess water, overflow into the streets, rain. But that's clean. That's clean water. Like if you're using water to wash your, you know, wash down your driveway because of pollen or irrigate your lawn, any excess would make its way onto possibly an impervious surface or go into the ground. If it makes its way onto an impervious surface like a street, then it would go into a storm drain, and then that would make its way. But it's clean water. That's a possibility. That is a possibility.
And it's clean.
Then that's something.
And I mean, clean, as I said it's earlier, clean water after I wash my car. That's clean water.
That's not regulated. Unfortunately, it's not regulated. I agree. If you have soap and you use it to wash your car and it goes into a storm drain, the idea is that's maybe, I don't know how many cars get washed over a period of time in a neighborhood, but we're talking about people flushing toilets, using water to wash dishes, laundry, or whatever. That should go into
Is your system better than what we're doing now?
There are septic systems that are working in your neighborhood.
My septic system is fine. Mm-hmm. And I pay less than $300 to have it pumped every 3 years. It's certainly more cost effective than what you're talking about.
Right now, the way the regulations are written for cesspool phase out, it's within 200. It's mandatory. It's within.
I didn't say cesspool.
I'm just saying to you, when you said the whole neighborhood, if you look at it as a collective, there are many more cesspools. The idea is that ultimately the regulations will change and will become more rigorous, and those cesspools at that time will
be
required.
So let's replace the cesspools with septic tanks.
Unfortunately,
you know, maybe 50 years ago people wanted sewers, but you know what? We don't want them now. We don't want them.
Michael Barrington.
Sorry, just one thing to clarify.
I know
I'm out of sequence, but everyone else is shouting. I want to add that you guys, to talk about the generator, we want information. The generator that you said is 4,500. Am I correct that we're using the E1 grinder?
E1
grinder. From their website, you need a 6,500 watt generator. If you, from the E1 website, 6,500 watt.
There's also a duplex model and a larger model and a singular model. So okay. I would just ask, because we asked.
There's a singular model, E1, and there's also a duplex model, E1. So I would like to see, you know, what you're referencing, because it could be you're speaking to the larger model, because we asked an electrician about
you
this.
You asked an electrician
verify.
Or you asked
yes,
E1?
We did. And this is the same electrician that does provide those one-time pump outs for us. So he's very familiar with the equipment.
But he wasn't E1. He wasn't the manufacturer. That's what I'm asking. I'm asking.
If we're incorrect, again, this information, I'm not an electrician. This is information we got from a master electrician. So I will make sure that that's something that we will convey to the
Yeah, it's a 6,500-watt generator from the E1, from their website, 6,500-watt. I just priced that. Harbor Freight has it for $800. If you want to go help all the neighbors that don't have the ability to pull that massive gas thing, you can get one for $759. There's another one for $1,000. There's another one for $1,200 that has an electric start. I'm asking you guys as human beings to add these numbers up and stop ignoring us as not knowing what we're talking about. This is a massively expensive, unwanted system. And you guys can have the common sense to put this together. We don't need all these 1,200, 1,500, 17,000. We don't need it. Here's another expense of $1,000.
Michael?
Good evening. So I just wanted to quickly ask, I know everyone's totally against this within this room, at least. I'd like to look a little further than that, and I'm wondering what, in all your estimates and in this approach and everything you've outlined, what planning do you have to maintain a level of transparency about your estimations? So after this project, if it goes forward and it concludes, how are you planning on making sure the transparency of the outcomes, right? Because there's a lot of speculation on what it can end up being. And as politicians and leaders of our community, I'm wondering what planning do you have to be honest about the outcomes? Because, you know, as we all know, people are elected. And as a resident, I live in Park Ave. As a voter, I want to make sure that I understand what the actual outcome of this is.
We do hold monthly board meetings where we present Mr. Ravenel or a representative from Gordon Archibald, the engineering company, will present updates regarding the construction project. Our project manager and collection systems manager, Matt Silicho, also provides updates at that time. And all of that information is available. The agendas are posted up to 48 hours prior to the meetings. And our annual calendar is available on the Warwick Sewer Authority website. So if you're interested, you're always able to attend, and minutes are published prior to the next meeting, so it can be voted on.
Okay, so there'll be a consideration and record of the outcomes of all Bayside residents and the final costs.
Yeah, exactly. Final costs, anything along those lines does get discussed at our board meetings.
I just think that's important because things can change. Things happen the way they happen, but I personally am very interested in making sure people remain accountable for their estimations. And I had another question that's unrelated to that, which is my sewer connection goes to a septic tank in the back, and I have a very large deck directly over my septic tank. I know everyone's talking about the cost, but I can't see how when they drill into my yard and install this, how they're not going to have to demolish my deck in the process. And as you know, wood is very expensive, and I'd say it's not as tragic as a lot of the stories I've heard tonight, and I'm very impacted by those stories, by the way. I'm just wondering, I have a small child, and part of the reason buying this house was this beautiful yard we have and the deck we have, and for my son, who's now 18 months old, as he grows up, to have a yard to play in. And if they do demolish the deck, I do not have the money to replace it, and it's going to create an unsafe situation in my yard, and my son will not be able to play in it. So not as impactful as a lot of the things I've heard tonight, but I didn't hear anyone mention maybe the collateral damage of this process.
Sir, there's a couple things at play here. It sounds like you have a deck that goes over a 4-inch lateral that goes into a cesspool.
Septic
system. So the couple of things that you could do an internal plumbing change and put it on either one side of your house so that you would not impact the deck. There are many different ways to make sure that you get sewer service without tearing the deck down. We've done this for many years. A resident engineer will visit your home. You can express your concerns. He'll give you the best advice he can. The resident engineer happens to have over 20 years experience in sewer construction for Gordon Archibald. So I'm pretty comfortable that you can work through this situation without tearing your deck down.
Okay, so you have confidence, but you know, if in the case that it's not a solution that's viable in that situation, then I would have to actually demolish the deck, and I'd be responsible for the cost of repairing and rebuilding.
I firmly believe that we can work through any situation like this. Done it multiple times, whether it be albeit a swimming pool, retaining wall, a concrete patio, a deck, any of these things. We can, you know, I'm sure once the resident engineer goes out and visits your house, either collectively myself or the resident will take a look at it, and we will come up with a solution.
Okay. I had one final question, and it's not, I just like, I know everyone's been listening a lot, and not many people have been asking questions, but I just like to ask a very simple question, is for each of you to say individually whether you personally believe this is a good idea or not, so that on the record, it's clear, because not everyone spoke tonight specifically about that.
Are you asking if we're in favor of the low pressure system? The acoustics are tough in here. I got to be honest with you.
A simple yes or no, just because I know everyone's spoken to different people tonight. Not everyone has spoken very much, but I just want to make sure, and in terms of accountability, that everyone could say yes or no whether they think this project's a good idea. Which, I mean, you're here, so I would assume that it's yes.
Yes.
Tony Poole. Tony Poole? Yes.
Then yes. Okay.
Todd Ravenel, and I do believe the system is...
He said Todd and Ravenel, and he does believe this is a good...
I agree with the design of the system. Okay. Yes. I think it's the suitable design. Suitable design, yes. I think it's the best design.
I know. I mean, the purpose of my question is to be truly accountable for whether something's a good idea or not. You have to be accountable for the consequences when it's not. So that's why I'm asking that. I don't know if you guys heard that, but I'm saying in general, if you think something's a good idea, it's important that to be accountable for the consequences when it's not in the end. That's why I'm asking everyone to say if they believe this is a good idea or not. Yep, and then that's it. I'm done. I don't have to stand here. I can go over here now. Thank
you. Yes, sir, I do believe this is the best idea for the common good. I said, yes, I do believe this is the best idea.
Laura McGuire.
Hi, how are you? Can everyone hear me? So I'm going to be your least contentious person today. I'm going to keep it on just because I have young kids at home. COVID makes me very nervous. So as long as everyone can hear me, I'll just keep it like this. So I am very uninformed about this, which is why I came tonight. So I'm glad I got a little bit of perspective. But my family moved to Warwick a couple of years ago. We purchased a home in Rocky Point, and it has a very expensive septic system. So I think I'm in a slightly different situation than a lot of the people here. I'm nowhere near retirement. I'm going to be working for the next 35 plus years of my life. And I am curious to know sort of in 18 years, because I think our system is going to qualify for the deferment. What's the cost going to be for me to remove that system completely, entirely? So sort of similar to the last gentleman that spoke, am I going to be responsible for that cost to take that out of my property? It's a very, very big system. It's going to require excavation. And so I'm just curious. I mean, that's going to fall on us, right?
I'm not sure why you would have to remove your system. It's a buried system. It's underground. There'd be no difference between that and a normal yard.
Okay, so
it would not have to come out of the ground if that's what you're asking.
Okay, so it does appear above ground ever so slightly. It sort of like sits above our yard.
Do you have an Elgin system or an Advantex?
I'm sorry?
You have an Elgin system or an Advantex?
Yes, I mean, yeah. It costs like $30,000. apparently.
Right. Right. Without actually seeing, without actually seeing what you have. I mean, you could, if it's just a railroad ties, you could, you don't have to remove the entire system.
I'm sorry. I can't, I'm having trouble hearing you because there's someone.
You
talking.
Don't have to remove the entire system.
Okay. Okay.
No, I don't believe there would be anything to fill. She would have a tank, which is a concrete manufactured product, which is an H20 load. And sewer authority requirements are that you can keep that tank in there. We do require that you fill in cesspools. Any concrete product that's manufactured, it's basically for your own safety and the safety of everybody in your neighborhood.
Right.
They don't walk in and fall into a cesspool, which is
right. Effort. Right. Okay. So I'm asking these questions because I want to plan for the future.
Yes.
So I appreciate your time. So then next question I have, I live on Boylston Street. Again, the Rocky Point side, obviously. The area next to our property is vacant and we don't own it. We were told when we moved in that it's not buildable property. And we've been investigating potentially buying the land because it's a relatively cheap piece of property. Would it, if we purchased that piece of property, would this, will we have to pay more for the septic system setup? I mean, it, as long as we're not building on it, I would assume no, right?
That would be Anthony Poole to answer that.
As far as vacant lots, as was said earlier, vacant lots will be assessed as one. As far as vacant lots go, as said earlier, vacant lots will be assessed as the, at that one EDU amount, which is that 16.9. If you're okay. buying the lot and merging it into your current lot,
yep.
then before the sewers go through, then you only have one lot still. So it's not something where you would then be charge two for a lot that no longer exists, if that makes sense. Now, as okay. far as what was stated about being a buildable lot, we don't make the determination about what a buildable lot is.
Right.
That's up to the planning board. That's up to the zoning board. Mm-hmm. We don't have a say in that.
Okay.
So we wouldn't be able to say just because we left a lateral, it's now buildable. Laterals are left in the case they do become buildable due to variances or people taking other pieces of other lots, merging them together, and now that becomes a buildable lot, but that is out of our purview.
Okay.
Correct.
Okay. Okay. Thank you. Thank you. So my last question is, you had pulled up a map earlier of the different areas where the pump stations will be. Do you know, like, can you describe what the zones are, what the stations are, where they are? Or is there somewhere I can look?
There are no pump stations on this project.
Okay. So it's all underground. So you specified like six or seven zones, or there was a map that was pulled up. Yeah. What's going there?
Right. So the different zones, if you take a look at the map, some are directional drilled and some are conventional open cut.
Okay.
And that's why we delineated the areas, just so we could start and employ a construction sequence. So we knew where we were going, what we were going to do. Directional drill all the way up Tidewater Drive, left and right. All of the side streets that would be directional drill till you get to the top of Tidewater Drive, if this rings a bell to anybody. And then after that, that would be conventional open cut, just as if you were going to put any other sewer in.
Okay. Okay.
But there will be no pump stations associated with this project.
Okay. Thank you so much. I appreciate your time.
You're welcome.
Topher Hamblett, please.
Thank you. My name is Topher Hamblett. I'm Director of Advocacy at Save the Bay. I'm here to express Save the Bay's support for this project. We have, for a bit of background, we served on the WSA Sewer Review Commission, chaired by Councilman Lattiser for many years, before myself, Jane Austin of Save the Bay, who was a Warwick resident, and then I served after her. This is a very difficult issue. I just want to sort of provide some larger context for it. So the cleanup of Narragansett Bay has been underway for about three decades now. The planning and the politics around the sewering of Warwick has been torturous for decades. It's been a mess. But now, finally, the city is getting on with the business of sewering an area near Narragansett Bay. As much progress as we've made in the bay, in cleaning up the bay all these decades, we still have problems, and they're localized problems. So the news that Mill Cove Brook area is closed to shellfishing now is bad news. We still have closures of local waters when we have heavy rains. I heard some folks tonight address the issue of fertilizers and stormwater runoff. They are correct. Those two are problems that we have to deal with, and they are challenging problems. All of these problems are required to be dealt with under the Federal Clean Water Act, and some of these problems are required to be dealt with by the Rhode Island Cesspool Phase-Out Act. The deadline for that act, for implementation of the act, for doing away with cesspools was 2014. Because the city passed bonds and committed to sewering, the DEM laid off the residents of the town that had cesspools and did not institute fines as they are empowered to do under the law. So the city has been creeping gradually towards this moment. I want to commend the authority and Mayor Picozzi and Councilman Lattiser for sticking with it. This is about the cleanup of Narragansett Bay, and it's long overdue. We need to keep making progress. We cannot backslide, and this project is good for Narragansett Bay. It's good for people who want to enjoy Narragansett Bay, whether it's for their livelihoods or just for enjoyment. So our organization appreciates the progress that's been made, and we fully support this project. Thank you.
Please state your name for the record.
Hi, I'm Jenna Seymour. I'm on Grove Ave. Sorry to prolong this since we're already over by an hour. I just had a general question. I am newer to Grove Ave, so I was not as informed as the rest of my neighbors, but I just wanted to know, a lot of numbers are being thrown out, and I'm sure, like, as we mentioned, we have a lot of people who are retired or on fixed incomes, but also my generation of people starting to buy houses. This is the first home I've ever owned. I owe Sally Mae a ridiculous amount of money. So as I'm sure you can imagine, even though some of us are working and not retired, we're also on a pretty tight budget. I'm just wondering, with the increase of cost on our water bill and then the assessment and everything, there's different numbers being thrown at us. What are we being, like, what should we expect to add to our budget monthly when this is all said and done?
Thank you for the question. With the assessment, we don't have the final interest rates yet to calculate. Going by the payments for the Governor Francis III and O'Donnell Hill sewer projects, they're looking at the annual bill was around $1,100, and that can be broken down into monthly, quarterly lump sum payments throughout the year. And that's over 20. That's over 20 years, not over 30.
Okay.
This project is over 30 years, so those payments should be a little lower than that. As far as your utility bill, the actual sewer and water bill will come out quarterly. They come out March, June, September, and December, and it depends on the amount of water used. The sewer portion is based on the amount of water.
So like on average, if you went, I'm sure there's people when you send out water bills when they weren't on it and their general usage is an average per year. What does that, because we pay for water coming in, what is that increasing? And I know you can't give a specific on that, but just in general, what are you seeing as an increase for people?
I'm going to give you my charges. I am family of four, two teenagers, and the sewer portion of our quarterly bill is approximately $250, and that's the quarterly bill.
Mine was $46 last time. So that's
around the summertime. Winter bills for winter usage are significantly lower.
Okay.
Under 200.
Okay.
And we use a lot of water. My family's probably on the upper level as far as families of four.
So around 1,100 to 1,200 a year, you're saying, and then on top of that, an increase in water about 75 to 150.
I'd say for if you're looking at it annually, between 750 to 1,100, 1,200. For the year, and again, it depends on your water usage. If you use a lot of exterior water, you should get a deduct meter that'll take that exterior water use off of your sewer portion of the bill. Obviously, you still pay the water portion because it's still water being used, but that deduct meter will save you money in the long run.
Okay, thank you. And my last question is, being newer to this, it sounds like a lot of people have been fighting this for quite a few years. At what stage are we in? Like, is there a chance to vote, or have you just made up your mind and you're sitting here getting yelled at just because that's your job? Or like, do we actually have a chance to fight this? Are you listening to what we're saying, or is this just is this just for a show? I don't mean that rudely. I don't know what this I just don't want to sue her and I showed up. But I mean, where are we at with this? Do we stand a chance to convince you not to do this to us?
The project is slated to begin. I don't know the exact time, but it will begin. The project will move forward. The project will move forward, correct.
No, I can't hear what you're saying because you're not at the mic.
These people are saying they're going to lose their homes. My neighbor gets $800 a month. He is not going to be able to afford this. Come on.
Of course I care. I also care about all the other folks that live in this area.
There are hardship programs that people can apply to for assistance.
If you let me have a minute, I'll answer the question that the lady asked me. And the question was, has this already been decided? This was decided to sue the city of Warwick in 1994. The voters voted on sewering the entire city in 1994, and it was signed by Mayor Chafee. So this was, okay, thank you. I'm just telling you what it was. If you want to continue to speak to me, go to the mic so I can hear you. It was decided in 1994. As we talked earlier, we still have 36 people who are on cesspools within 200 feet of the water. We have, you can argue about the numbers, but well over 50% of the people that live in Bayside that are on cesspools.
So I will said, a vote happen over? That's with current residents? Because in 1994, I was 9 living in Canada. I don't care what the people at that time voted for me.
Okay.
As a homeowner now, is there going to be a vote, or are you going to listen to what the current owners are saying and wanting? Because, I mean, I just become an American citizen. You preach about Americans like we are given rights. That's my house. I pay the mortgage. I'm paying the taxes. So it seems crazy to me that after buying that house and not having any issues, I'm now being told because someone made a decision in 1994, money has been blown, bad decisions have been made, that I now have to pay the price and I don't have a choice. And that just seems completely insane to me that you would do that to your residents. And I'll let you go. Okay. I'm just, there's a lot of whispering going on over here. And the question that's being whispered over here that I know you're having a hard time hearing is there a possibility that tonight you are listening to everything that is being presented? You have the ability to stop this project. Are you going to leave here this evening and mull over this and possibly do what your constituents voted you in for?
I've been mulling this over for 7 months, and I do not have the ability to stop this.
I can't hear you.
Okay, with all due respect, you did not speak to a single person in this room who is anti-sewer before you made this decision. You are citing 1994 decisions when the technology around septic and wastewater management decentralized systems has improved and become cheaper, while infrastructure for pipes and sewer has become more expensive. The cost of this project does not make sense given the benefit to the residents. It does not add up. And you can say all day long that you molded over for 7 months, but the reality is we elect you. We chose you. And you work for us. And so do you. And so if you are not going to come to a meeting to listen to your constituents after you didn't talk to them and signed, when did you sign this contract? Can you tell me that also? What day did you sign the contract?
What day?
Yeah.
I don't recall. It was a couple of weeks ago. It was several weeks ago.
So I'm just curious, who did you speak to in the Bayside area before you signed that contract,
since you've become
mayor of Warwick?
I knew the opposition to it, and I've been contacted by many people that are in favor and have asked for it. You presented, okay.
Okay, hear me out though. So part of your job as mayor is to not just speak to people who want the things that you want or your friends want. It's to listen to all the constituents, even the ones that you don't agree with, take their points of view into consideration, consider what is best for the community as a whole. And you did not do that.
Oh, yes,
this
I
is
did.
Not,
yes,
no. Sir?
I did not do this. It was not a rash decision.
I'm going to let Pauline come back to the microphone.
Ma'am, I've been thinking about this for months. My job is to act in what I feel is in the best interest of the common good.
With all due
and
respect,
that is what I've
sir.
Done. And that is what I do with every decision. No, I'm not.
So... I also just want to add, again, that neither of you seem to understand the EPA guidance at all. Like, that is a problem. You are elected officials who are making decisions that should be in line with DEM and EPA guidance, and this is not in line with it. This is actually exactly in opposite of what happened in South Kingstown, Tiverton, and on Block Island. They chose to do decentralized systems with regulation because it was better for the environment, and it did not include any systems that were not against requiring pumps, right? So the system we're talking about requires power to run all the way through because you are piping uphill. I live at the bottom of a hill. You are piping uphill to the main line. That is why it has to be powered. Septic is green because when it is properly maintained and runs, it does not require power. There are alternative septic systems that can be placed on small lots on the water, the ones that are within that 200 feet zone. And there is no reason for this expansion. Literally none, except for the WSA checkbook and expanding their reach and therefore their ability to charge people, your property taxes, and the water bills. So, and the electricity. I mean, all of this is just, we have laid out how much this costs. I know you know. I know you hear us. And what I want you to say to us right now is that you do not care. Because that's what I hear, and I need you to say it.
I'm not going to say that. That's ridiculous. I do care. I care about all the residents
then
of the city.
Then think about what you've heard tonight. Because the fact that you've heard people telling you all of the things they've said tonight, and you still are like, oh, I already made up my mind. I didn't talk to any of these people. And then I just came to this decision. That is not how your job is supposed to be done. and I will make sure that you are a one-term mayor.
Okay, ma'am.
If you want to continue.
All right, thank you very much.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you for coming this evening.
The meeting is adjourned.